once again, and thank you so much for being a part of this week's Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. Coming up in a few minutes, changing a mindset and bettering the community. How one local therapist is working to destigmatize mental health in our area. Also, It's Back, a longtime charitable effort teaching women the beauty of philanthropy, is back, and we'll talk about it. But first, the stories of human trafficking have been told time and time again, but often only putting the focus on sex trafficking. And there's another tale to tell. That's where BGSU Firelands campus comes into the conversation this week. And the work that's underway right now focused on educating all of us about labor trafficking.
So, Tracy, as we begin the conversation, talk a little bit about why it was important to focus not on sex trafficking, but on labor trafficking.
So Laura and I have been doing research and educating people on human trafficking for well over a decade now. And a lot of what we talk about is specifically the sex trafficking angle and understanding of what human trafficking is. And while that's a very important component for us to stay focused on, we also know that there are a lot of victims out there that are being forced into labor and that they are not necessarily getting identified and or getting the resources they need when they are identified.
Let me ask you, are there concerns specifically about Northwest Ohio and Ohio in general?
So when we look at Ohio specifically, some of the concerns that we have are just the types of industries that might be involved in forced labor. Agriculture is one of those, and we know that throughout northern part of Ohio, we have a lot of agriculture that takes place here. We also know that it can take place in construction, in landscaping, and all different types of environments that are relatively common to this area.
Laura, how do you go about, I guess, making not only this field of study be understandable to the fact of how somebody knows if they're being trafficked from a job standpoint, from a working standpoint?
So that's a really great question. And, you know, historically, there's been a lot of conversations about recognizing red flag indicators. And we're kind of moving away from that conversation and just in general, thinking about indicators in of itself. You know, if it is an organization and they're working with a third party contractor, they really need to be mindful of who is this company that they're working with. They need to have engaged conversations with the individuals that they're hiring, making sure that they have appropriate translators and things like that. And then from a community member standpoint, you know, just being mindful of the organizations that you frequent. You know, we were just in an interview recently and we were talking about how if you go into an organization and you're seeing someone there every single time that you go in, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it doesn't matter what time that you go in, that person's there, that could be an indicator of trafficking.
Laura, explain why the Firelands campus is so essential, and also explain to people, is this going to serve as a research hub, or will there be degrees offered in this field?
That's a really great question. Well, part of the reason why we chose the Firelands campus is number one, because of the demographics. We know Tracy did a great job talking about agriculture and that rural component, but we also have, you know, amusement parks in this area. We have a lot of fairs. We have the highways. We're right in between, you know, two major cities. And then in addition to this, we also want the ability to partner between main campus as well as the Firelands campus and bring an professional approach in the education that we're giving, because we know that the mission of Bowling Green State University is a commitment to public good. And what better commitment is that? So one of the hopes that we're having to come out of this initiative is not only research, but also the opportunity for certificate programs and educational seminars and presentations as well.
Tracy, talk a little bit about the engagement with law enforcement. Will this field of study, where do you see law enforcement playing into this? And do you see this being as a benefit to law enforcement?
Absolutely. I know that just recently we hosted an event at Kalahari here in Sandusky, and the event was actually some of the major sponsors that we had were the Ohio Hotel Lodging Association, and we were looking at hotel industry and how that is affected possibly with human trafficking and what that intersection might look like. And as we started inviting people to join that particular training, some of the main people that we had at the training were law enforcement, and not just law enforcement, but also in the criminal justice system. We had people that were parole officers, probation officers. We had judges, as well as hotel, the hotel industry, nurses, and a variety of other people. But one of the things we did find was that we need for our law enforcement officers to better understand what they're looking for them when they walk into situations. What might be some of those indicators that give an idea that maybe an establishment is allowing trafficking to take place? And so how do we spot those issues, and how can they better identify? Because if they can't identify, then we can't move it further with helping to get those services for the victims.
We got a couple minutes left. And I was telling you before we came on here, I was just part of a 2-day training with Perrysburg in Perrysburg Township, where they brought in law enforcement from all across the state, talking to them about those indicators and making them recognize, especially at the crossroads of America, the Turnpike and I-75, understanding what to look for. Laura, I want you to touch on something, because I'm hearing vacation areas, destination areas as being a concern. Obviously, Sandusky primed for that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you know, one of the things that's really important to include in this conversation is that human trafficking can happen anywhere at any given time. It can be in any community, any state, throughout our nation. But we do know that when you do have an area that has a lot of people coming and going, there's high risk for that. Part of the reason that we talk about this area specifically is we know that we do have a lot of foreigners who are coming into work, whether it is, as we talked about, you know, migrant workers and things like that. But we have a lot of foreigners that are coming in to work at resort places. And when you think about, you know, maybe their employment doesn't work out, and then someone really nice comes along with an offer that sounds too good to be true, that individual could be susceptible to trafficking. And so it's really important in an area where there's a lot of tourism and opportunities for employment that we're being mindful not only of sex trafficking, but labor trafficking as well. But the same goes to say in any community, in any city, in any state throughout our nation.
Our community conversation continues right after this. Welcome back. One of my next guests is a licensed independent social worker, as well as an adjunct professor at the University of Toledo, teaching master level social work classes. Her passion is to inspire others to become the trauma that has paralyzed them by empowering them and bringing them to a place of healing where they can be the best versions of themselves. So let's say a big leading edge welcome to LaShawna Alfred. She is CEO and founder of You Change Counseling and Behavioral Health Agency, as well as Joy Woodward joining us. Both of you, thank you so much for being here. I think the inspiration behind the chat, obviously, you've got an event coming up. We're going to talk about that toward the end of our interview. Mm-hmm. But we have done so many stories over the years, LaShawna, about people feeling bad about admitting there's a mental health issue going on. Why, in your study, why is there that hesitation to admit it, get it out there?
Yeah, because people don't want to be judged, right? And so whenever we have issues, we want to keep it a secret because we don't want to feel abandoned, neglected, you know, isolated, different, you know, any of those things. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing, and if we look at mental health, I'm saying if you're finding yourself just being sad, isolating, and staying away from family and friends, then there's help for that.
And Joy, you provide a testament to this, bringing things to the forefront, the importance of it. Do you not?
Yes, I do, definitely.
How so?
Well, when I came to counseling, we always have this thing in our head that counseling is for just, you know, people with just problems. I came to counseling because of, I thought, because of my kids and because of my divorce, but I found out it was more, it was deeper. It was some things that I needed to get to the root of to be a healthier, whole me.
How do you find that? I mean, as a journalist, you want to ask the right questions, you want to get the right answers, but when you're diving into somebody's past, maybe things that they've tucked away, haven't touched for years, how do you get at that?
Yeah, first of all, I create a safe space, right? And so a lot of times people come into my office wanting me to help them change other people, right? Mm. And so when I'm creating that safe space, it allows them to be able to go deeper and see that it's not necessarily what other people did, but how it made us feel and think about ourselves. And so really helping them process through that and change the narrative.
We're going to talk about the unveiling, which is the event that's coming up in a little bit. But I did want to grab onto something specific about men. Mainly because we tend to really tuck things away.
Yeah.
Especially African-American men is something that you have found that there's not a lot of willingness to put themselves out there, to be vulnerable. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially in the Black community, right? Where it's like, oh, for our men, you got to be strong. You can't cry. And so if I'm hurting, I can't cry. It got to come out somewhere. So I'm going to get angry. So that emotion is more acceptable than me saying I'm sad, right? So it looks like domestic violence. It looks like criminal activity. It looks like substance abuse, you know, for a lot of men. And they have nowhere to go to be able to be vulnerable and say, I'm hurting. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. And so even we're going to be highlighting that as well.
Yeah. How do you break down that wall?
Yeah, it is so amazing. When men come into the office, they don't expect a cry, right? They're coming in strong. And so again, me creating that safe space for them to be able to talk about what's actually going on and realize that they're not crazy and that it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel whatever feelings that you may be feeling.
Joy, let me ask you, we only got about 2 minutes left. Let me ask you, as you get to that point where you're like, I am going to get this out, how do you get to that point yourself? Because there has to be some personal strength going into that decision first and foremost before you ever sit down and talk to anybody like LaShawna, right?
Right. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like, I was at the end of my rope. I was tired of the way I was going on in life, and I know that I needed help. And so that's why I reached out to, you know, LaShawna for counseling, because I was tired of me. I was tired of going through the same thing over and over again, and I knew that I couldn't fix it on my own, and I know that I needed somebody else to help me to get to where I needed to go.
What was the breakthrough moment for you?
The breakthrough.
Have you gotten there yet?
I definitely have gotten there. The breakthrough moment was, you know, when I realized, you know, that, you know, I wanted to change. I wanted different, and the only way I was going to get different is when I seeked out help. Like, I wanted to change.
Yeah.
Like, it was a personal decision.
We always say we hope that the show can reach at least one set of ears. So we've got Sunday, May 5th is the unveiling.
Yeah.
I guess give your best pitch for people. What's it going to offer?
Yeah, so the unveiling is going to create this safe, fun, inspiring atmosphere for individuals to come in, get taught about the stigma behind mental health and realize that there's help. They're not crazy. They're not alone. And it's a whole vibe. It's a whole experience. So we have a men's panel. And so the men is entitled Men Cry. Mm-hmm. And so men are going to be talking about what it's like being a man, right? And being the responsibilities that they have. We have dancers. It's a whole, like, experience. So we definitely encourage individuals to come out. And we're actually wanting to give anyone who say that they heard it on Leading Edge, they buy one ticket, they get a chance to bring a guest.
There it is, right there. You heard it. Thank you so much, both, for coming on. I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, but it is important to get it out there.
Absolutely.
Good luck with your event coming up. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back once again here on Leading Edge. There is going to be a kickoff party Thursday, May 30th at Imagination Station downtown, celebrating the return of one of the area's most inclusive and exciting philanthropy organizations. Philanthropic. Why couldn't that word come out of my mouth? I speak too much during the course of the week. Organizations for Women in Northwest Ohio. Chicks for Charity is back. Emily Zarek and Mona Schauscher joining us here.
Thank you.
Representing once again this celebration of bringing it back. My wife said, make sure you ask, where did it go? So,
exactly.
Emily, just start us off. What happened to this great, great thing? And immediately I think to myself, well, maybe the pandemic, the reason, it was different things, right?
It was different. So Chicks for Charity started in 2006, and our last event was in 2016. And it ended really purely because Martha Vetter, the longtime founder, was selling the agency that she had founded.
RP.
And it was something the new owner wasn't really interested in taking on. It was, you know, a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so it kind of went quiet for a little while.
Remind people, how many events during the course of the year would actually happen under that umbrella?
Yeah, so there was one main event every year called Chicks Mix, where everyone would gather together and celebrate, and we continue to raise money for our designated charity. And then throughout the year, Chicks were on their own raising money through fun events on their own.
But that was kind of the, I guess, the education behind it all, was to say there doesn't necessarily have to be this vehicle. You can go out, you can be philanthropic,
and
make a difference. And now Executive Director Mona Schauscher of Chicks for Charity 2024 version.
Yes, how exciting.
Talk
I'm so honored.
Talk a little bit about the vision going forward.
So really, it's basically the vision that was always there, and we're just carrying it, restarting it, and moving it forward. And it's really all about empowering women and girls of all ages, all economic backgrounds, to just show them and give them opportunities to give back and be philanthropic and to help others. And it's really very simple and easy. We don't ask a lot. We ask that each member hosts one event and raise $50 to $100. It's truly all about having fun, enjoying your friends and family, and making a difference and an impact for our community.
What does it take to become a member?
Sign up. That's it. It's so easy. Honestly, they've made it so easy and so much fun. And you get to work with so many amazing people and meet. There's so many community members that have come together to kickstart Chicks for Charity. And it's amazing to watch and to see how excited everyone is for it to come back.
I was telling you guys that I had a meeting with Martha. This has been well over a year ago, but she said, we really want to get this going again. We don't know how soon, but we do so many interviews about finding your why. Yeah. And that is kind of, I guess, important behind this effort, is it not?
It absolutely is. And one of the real driving forces in bringing it back was one of our designated charities was Mom's House. And Martha happened to be at an anniversary event recently. And one of the women who spoke during Chicks Mix of 2016 and shared her story was at that event. And now she's a doctor of pharmacology and doing amazing things and gives so much support to that charity, to Mom's House, that Martha said, this has to come back. Look at the good that we've done.
Yeah.
And there's so much more we can do, and so many people that we've worked with over the years that wondered and missed, you know, where did Chicks for Charity go?
Yeah.
And just the thought of it coming back.
Mona, you said continue the mission, but as these weeks and months have kind of gotten us closer and closer to that May 30th date, which is obviously, as we said, the kickoff 6 to 8 down at Imagination Station. What are the ideas going around? What are you noodling as far as, okay, how do we make this better? How do we really push this forward?
Gosh, there's like, we really are starting from scratch. I mean, we have all the, you know, the mission and our goals that really were in place from the very beginning, but just making them bigger and better and getting more people engaged. And I feel like after COVID, everyone's, you know, more open and really see the need and feel the need to make a difference in our lives and to impact our community in a positive way, because everything was impacted so negatively for years that now I feel like everyone's ready. Every time we talk about it, everyone says, oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'm so glad you're coming back.
Yeah.
There's just this energy that is just growing daily with it. And it's just so much fun to watch.
I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but I know I will receive emails. I will get texts. I will get phone calls. And I'm amazed at all of the ways so many individuals throughout this community, throughout our region, mm-hmm. will step up to the plate, yes. and make sure that philanthropy is strong, make sure that it is important, make sure that it is remembered. Is that kind of the message we're looking at for Chicks for Charity going forward?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Emily.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. And it's also the... really, you know, celebrating those little things. I mean, those big gifts are always wonderful, and I know every charity really embraces those.
Yeah.
But also letting people know that it doesn't have to be, you know, those big, you know, multi-$1,000 gifts. That it's the little gift that you can give, mm-hmm. and then together we make such a big impact.
Yeah.
But every gift matters, and the just celebrating the joy of giving back.
And it kind of takes away kind of the negative stigma of chick, using
yes.
that word like Fonzie
yes.
did back
yes.
on Happy Days.
It does.
You're going to say it, Mona. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that just like Emily said, the small gifts, like all those, if you think about it, each and every one contributing in a small way. We ask our members $50 to $100 once a year to host an event, and it could be anything. It could be a swear jar at home. It could be a wine night. It could be a lemonade stand. Could be anything that's easy and fun for you. So it's just those small things make a huge impact in our community.
And those are all good ideas that you just gave out right there. We may have to start the swear jar at the Smith House.
I know. I think a lot of people will utilize that
Emily,
one.
Emily, Mona, yeah. great job. Thanks for bringing it back.
Thank
it's good
you.
To hear once again.
Thank you.
Leading Edge continues right after this. Welcome back for a final time. A couple of reminders. Chicks for Charity, the kickoff is happening on May 30th at Imagination Station between 6 and 8 p.m. Also, our second segment today, we talked about the unveiling, removing the stigma of mental health. That is happening at the premiere over on Heather Downs on Sunday, May 5th. We always appreciate you carving out a piece of your Sunday to spend with us here on Leading Edge. Of course, you can always go to our YouTube page if you missed any part of our interviews here this week, and check out the Leading Edge podcast if you like listening in your car. I'm Jeff Smith. Great to have you with us as always. We'll see you next time on Leading Edge.